Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am so delighted tonight because we have a wonderful guest on the show this evening, Miss author Nicole Brown. She has a very, very impressive bio here, and I am so delighted that she agreed to do the show this evening. She has a great literary path going here. And we just want to, at this time, welcome her to the show and all the guests that are in the chat room here. We're headed for a good time. We're just going to really talk to author Nicole Brown tonight and have her tell us a little bit about herself as a professional and as an author and a poet. We're going to connect her in on the line at this moment. Welcome, author Nicole Brown. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I am so glad that you agreed to do the show this evening. I'm going to read for the people a little bit before we get into questioning the bio. Author Nicole Brown is a native of Monroe, Louisiana. She holds a B.S. in chemistry education from the University of Louisiana, Monroe. She is certified in the following subjects: chemistry, physics, general science, and music. Oh, my goodness. She must be a smart young lady because chemistry and physics, those are not easy curriculums. She's a former general music teacher from the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, and she's now a chemistry physics teacher in Monroe, Louisiana. She's the author of several books of poetry, which includes the following titles: School Days, Holidays, and All Days That Lie Between, More School Days, Holidays, and All Days That Lie Between, All About Slime, God's Calling You to Live a Life That's True, Trials of a Northeast Louisiana Child, Coming Soon, and The True Coming Soon. So this is a very impressive young lady, and I'm just looking forward to learning more about her in our conversations because she's written several books, and you know, she's going to talk to us about those right now. Nicole, again, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell the people out there listening a little bit more about you? I know we read a little bit of the excerpt from your bio, mm-hmm. but in your own words, tell us a little bit more so people can, you know, embrace the Nicole Brown.
Well, I am the youngest of seven children. I have one daughter. Like you said, I was born in Monroe and raised in Monroe and formally educated there as well. And I consider it an honor and a privilege to be back at home serving my community. And I really love to read and write, sing. I do a lot of creative things. As a child, I was a very quiet person, but now I'm pretty much wide open, and I love people. I really love children.
Oh, great. Now, did I hear you say that you sing?
That's right. I do sing.
So what do you like to sing?
I like all types of music. I grew up a lot, listened to a lot of gospel, blues, R&B, I like pretty much all types. I like country, rock. I really love rap. That was not a favorite of people in my household, my parents, but I really like that genre of music. But I like pretty much it. I can listen to any type of music.
That's great. It's great to be a versatile person, to be able to embrace all everyone's talent and artistic ability. I to myself, you know, I may not be a fan of certain things, but I try to embrace the artistic ability of everyone and try to see their point of view in you know, the way they deliver music, poetry, and things of that nature, because you never know if you'll like something unless you listen to it and try it out. So, that's a good attitude to have to embrace or receive all music. Now, you say you're from Louisiana. Wow. Tell us a little bit about how it is in Louisiana.
It's
what
different
makes it
from
a
everywhere.
Great place?
Well, it's family-oriented. It's really a lot of fun. We have a lot of good food, a lot of good-hearted people. A lot of people around here love God, and we're in the Bible Belt, so it's a lot of churches everywhere. Like I said, we love good food, good fun, and we're family-oriented people, and I really wouldn't like to live anywhere else but Louisiana. I would like to travel more to visit other places, but I really love Louisiana. I love the Saints. You know, we may have our little issues, but every place does. But I really do love Louisiana.
You're absolutely
you can
right.
Hear
every
my
place
daughter.
Does have their own. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that it's just amazing. I was so excited to have you come onto the show because you have written quite a few. You have conjured up quite a collection of books here. And why don't you tell us about your most recent book?
My most recent book is really on your coming soon, but it was released in August, on August 3rd. That was kind of one of the hardest books that I've ever written in my life. That was like an autobiographical, some autobiographical poetry about my trials and tribulations growing up in this, in the area that I, in the region that I grew up in, and how the Lord really changed me, you know, really showed me some things that I really needed to work on, and that I needed to allow Him to work on me, you know, to really release myself and to become, you know, what God really made me to be. And that was really, like, some tough issues because it's really personal. A lot of other people probably wouldn't have written some of the things that I have written, but it really released some of the pressure or some of the things that I had to, you know, that I was facing. And it's really ironic, you know, around this time, you know, because I did have some issues I didn't, you know, that I really couldn't, I really didn't feel like I could express as a child because, you know, of some things that I really encountered, and I was the youngest of seven children, so it was very hard for me to you know, have some self-expression. You know, we all had similar abilities and all of that, and being the youngest, you kind of get bossed around about by, you know, your mom and dad and your all of your siblings, too. So there was some things, you know, I kind of kept to myself. And, you know, and I can, you know, as a teacher now, I can kind of, you know.
Can you say wouldn't you say that poetry gives you a voice?
Yes, it does.
A place. It's actually very purging. A lot of people who can really write poetry, they write poetry from a dark place sometimes. And I feel like that's a therapy almost I can remember being very young, and I used to write poetry as a young girl. But, as, you know, being a young girl, I didn't actually know to call it poetry. It's just, you know, what I was feeling on the inside. And I do find that poetry is just very, very purging, very relieving. It can be a lot of things, very motivating, very uplifting. It's a form of relief. It's a lot of things, and that's why it's just so fascinating when I meet other poets who say that they write things from their past experience, because right there you're being somewhat of a messenger, because somebody that will pick up your book, even though it's poetry, someone that may pick up your book may be experiencing the same things and don't know how to find a way out of what they're dealing with. But, you know, hearing your words, reading your words can help them relate in some ways, possibly to find a path to, deliver them from whatever they're dealing with.
Right.
Wouldn't you say that you know, plays a role in poetry?
That definitely, that hits it right there. It definitely does play a part. You know, it is a ministry within itself. You are right, totally right. Because some people, I didn't feel, you know, at that particular time that some people were going through the same things that I was going through, and that wasn't the case. You're right.
It's very encouraging. I'm just really impressed. When you wrote your first book, what gave you the motivation to go ahead and put the manuscript together and get it published?
Really, I was kind of in a bad situation financially, and I was praying and seeking God, I was praying and seeking God for help, seeking family members for help. You know, all of those doors were not open, and, you know, I always had the desire to actually publish a book, but I had always seen, you know, where there were certain fees that I could not actually pay, and I found a place on the internet, thank God for internet, that was publishing books for a low price, a self-publishing agency, and I just went on and started putting those poems together, some of them that I had already written when I was a college student, and some of them that I had written for school programs, because I was a music teacher at the time, and I compiled those together, and that's how School Days, Holidays, and All Days That Lie Between came about. And it was published on November 21st, 2009.
All right. And when you put that, would you find that when you decided that you wanted to become a published poet, that you had the support that you needed?
Yes, in some ways, but it really has not gone the way, you know, I'm still pressing forward, and there were a lot of obstacles that I had to face because I was in a situation where I was, you know, still working, and I'm still working now, that sometimes you bring information to certain individuals, and they're not really mature enough in Christ, and they, you know, find fault or try to do things that are not, you know, pleasing to build up a person. But I just kept going in Jesus' name and kept writing, because that was something that I was told to do. You know, that's one of my gifts, and I need to use it. So, yes, I did get a lot of I got a lot of praise, but then I got a lot of, from people that I thought that I would get praise from, I didn't. So you really can't, what I'm trying to say is you really can't put trust in man. You really have to put trust in God, because he will always he'll always open up a door in a place that you don't expect it. And I really sound like a minister now, but.
All right, now, but I'm coming there because I had a program over the weekend, Morning Inspiration and Candid Conversation, and I was somewhat talking about the same issues about supporting, you know, but this is your interview, so we won't get into that. But, yeah, I understand, you know, that's a part of you. So, you know, I try to tell folks all the time that, you know, really, to me, altruism is a ministry. So, it really is. So if you're getting ready to sound like a preacher, it's all right. No. That's the way I feel about it because I don't feel like you know, it's just about, because everything that's poetry is something that is given by God, a gift that's given by God, and is given to elect people. Not everybody can write poetry. So that means that this can be a tool, like I said, to minister to other people in so many ways that we cannot even imagine. God will use whatever he so desires to use to reach someone.
That's the truth.
You know what I mean? And poetry is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to how many books do you have total? I thought it was it six?
I have six total. Six, it's really seven, but I made a clean version of one.
Okay. Now, now I see that you've published them kind of relatively close. Now, you know, a lot of people are hindered, you know, because of finances. There are some people who have things that they want to publish, but financially they can't do that. Is there a certain method that you use to... you know, kind of, you know, set out a plan so you can say, well, I want to publish this book, and how did you go about planning to say, well, I'm going to make sure that I publish it this day, or did you, you know, base it on any certain thing to, you know, keep continuing to get those books out?
Well, I really kept continuing to get those books out because I was really pressed, you know, financially. I lost a car, and a lot of different things occurred to me in this past year, and I had given up a lot of things that, you know, that were really bad for me, you know, for kind of like righteousness sake, and I really was really trying to make money, which, again, that was kind of selfish, but that's what I really... Really, that's what motivated me more, you know, and really wanted to help, you know, other people. So that's why I kind of pushed myself a little bit harder to put the information out there because, again, I was being pushed by the Spirit to actually put this out. You know, some nights, you know, I was very filled with much inspiration through to trials that I was facing, and I really do have a strong desire to help others because I love people, and I will say that I love Jesus, and I really want to do what I'm supposed to. I want to do what I'm designed to do, no matter what.
All right.
I've always had that desire to have more. I grew up in poverty. I grew up in one of the tougher areas in my hometown. And, you know, there were a lot of things that people, you know, that people would say that they, you know, that people in my area could not do. And I just took it in stride and did better than what people were saying. Like, you know, certain people would say, okay, those people from your neighborhood are no good or they're not going to succeed. You know, you're not going to succeed and you're not going to be able to get a quality education because that's all you do is go hip-hop. And that wasn't necessarily the truth because in God's word, he made all of us, you know, he had a plan for all of us, a special purpose for all of us. And I didn't realize, you know, as a child, I was like, okay, I don't know why these people are saying this to me. This is not, you know, not good for them to be saying that to me. But then when I come back over my life, you know, as an adult, I'm like, okay, I don't understand why. I didn't understand why I grew up in poverty as a child. Really, because that there was a purpose for me, you know, to work harder to achieve goals. I'd already had certain things that other people may not have had, you know.
It's the Bible.
And he wanted me to work hard so that I can, you know, so that I can have the things that he had already given me.
Absolutely.
And basically, you know, a lot of children, I worked with a group of homeless children this summer. And a lot of them, you know, they would have those types of problems and didn't understand why that they were going through those things that they were going through. Really, there's the king in them. You know, it's already there. You just have to work toward the goal.
It's the Bible.
Right, absolutely.
It's the Bible.
I still agree with what you're saying, that that, you know, the path you have to. I wrote a poem, towards what you're saying, that sometimes we have to experience. You said something about you were asking the question why you had to go the route of being in poverty. But you know what? Sometimes those things, the things are at our weakest and darkest times, those things are meant to make us strong and to see things in a brighter light. Because if we always saw things, you know, always saw the sunshine, we would never know how to appreciate God for being the God who he is. So therefore, we have to experience those things in our life. But the beautiful thing about it is that once we experience those things, we always know that we have a way out. We have a way of escape back into the beauty of God's presence and things of that nature. So that's such a wonderful thing. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that you desire to travel. Have you ever thought about, that since you have 6 books, you obviously have enough, material to, you know, really market and set yourself up in you know, various venues for spoken word or venues like, events where a lot of authors come together. Do you feel like that will be a platform you will get involved with relatively soon to market your book?
Would I like to go to travel to market my book? I definitely would like to do that, definitely, most definitely.
You know, I ask those kind of questions because, you know, we always have people come in the archives and listen, so you never know who's going to be listening, and they may end up inviting you out to a venue, you know, somewhere close to your area. There's a lot of authors across the globe, and with some of the content you were explaining about this in some of your, you know, it's kind of like it's a worldwide experience that you can touch a lot of people's lives. Now, do you ever go to like spoken word venues?
No, I haven't. I really just been busy being a teacher. Most of the time I've just been teaching and writing on the side, not really seeking any venues as far as spoken word and all of that. But that is something that
would that be something that you would be open to?
Yes.
If you were ever invited?
Yes.
There are a lot of places just across the globe, like local and stuff, you know, that could be done on the weekends and during evening times, once every month. It's a lot of ways to get yourself out there. I like the fact that you said you, is it that you work with the homeless children, or is that some organization, or?
Well, I just had the opportunity to do it as a summer job this past summer.
Oh, okay. I think it's so beautiful to be able to, help the community, be involved in community venues, and certainly poetry lends an opportunity to do that as well. I know some other poets that there's actually a public poet on Facebook that is doing a venue for the homeless. She's given a portion of the proceeds from her venue to the homeless. And I thought that was a very beautiful gesture. There's just so many things that we can do with our talents and our gifts. Would you consider, is poetry the only type of writing style that you are involved in right now, or will you branch off, do you see yourself branching off into different writing styles?
Well, I have written an article in my last book, my latest book, Trials of Northeast Louisiana Child. I did step out of the box and wrote an article about an experience at work.
Okay. If people wanted to find your book, what are some of the places where they can find, go and purchase your book?
They're available online at Amazon.com, Booksamillion.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and several other online retailers.
Okay. Yeah, I see your name all over Amazon, so I'm saying there's no way nobody can miss your name. We did provide a link in the chat room to your where they can purchase from Amazon.com as well as on the show page with your information on it. Do you have a favorite poet that you may pattern yourself after these days or kind of look up to?
I really look up to Maya Angelou. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got a lot of people's
And Nikki Giovanni.
Yes. A lot of people. It's just Maya Angelou, she seems like she's just one of a kind because not only does she have the talent to write, but it's just that voice when she delivers her poetry. It's something just magical about it. It's just almost like it's one of a kind.
It is.
Yeah, so she is one, definitely one of my favorites as well. Now, when you're writing your manuscript, do you do everything yourself as far as the designing of your covers, the layout of your book? Because a lot of self-published authors have different ways that they do. They may have the publishing company do some of the things, or they may do some of the things themselves. Is there a way that a poet that's looking to find a very affordable channel to get their books out without being burdened down with the cost factor? What would you tell them is a good way to go, a good method to, or a process to use to get their books published?
I definitely recommend Create Space. I do. It's a website that you can log in to, and you have a choice of whether or not you want the publishing company to do your layout, or you can go out the other method that's low cost, that you have to do your own layout of the book, and you either have a choice of actually picking the set out designs for the cover, or you can create your own cover. And what I did was actually chose from a selection that was given on the computer, and I actually did my own layout and table of contents and index and all.
Okay.
It took a while, but once I started the first one, it just got easier. So once you kind of get your feet wet, I know that's what happened with me. Once I got my feet wet, it was easy, you know, to do. Very easy.
Great. That is some great advice that sometimes, you know, to save a little bit, take off a little bit of the financial pressure is to do some of the stuff yourself, find self-publishing venues that will, you know, give you the option to do some of the things yourself so that you can, you know, minimize the cost. I am just really impressed with you, Nicole, because you are chemistry, physics, and music, and you're a poet.
Yes, ma'am.
So many people, and an author, so many people are discouraged because we live in a time where people have to work, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of people feel so ashamed that they have to work. They're, you know, and they say, well, I'm an author, and I still have to work. But I find that 90% of the authors have to work a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very impressive to you. I'm glad that you're on the show to encourage people that you can, you have seven books, and you are a professional.
Yes.
And, you know, that's very encouraging that to have you on the show, because then people can understand that you have to do what you need to do, you know, in order to maintain your lifestyle, your you know, take care of your family, and that is okay to do that, and you can still be an author and a poet. That's one thing that impresses me about you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you maintain that, you know, that life of being an author and a poet and being a professional in the chemistry, being a teacher? Because I can imagine that being a teacher, that takes a lot of your time and energy with, you know, having to do lesson plans and,
okay,
of course, interact with your students. How do you balance that lifestyle?
It's hard, but, you know, you really have to kind of work smart and not really get overboggled in things that are not meaningful. As a teacher, I tend to want to get to know my students so that I can base my teaching techniques on them. I don't want to give straight up book work to a student if, you know, they're interactive, then I'm gonna let them, you know, do some type of art or let them get on the computer or do hands-on techniques and grade them accordingly. I'm not going to just sit there and say, okay, read this. So basically, I try to find out what my students like, you know, how they learn before I even start teaching them so that I won't be ineffective. Because if I'm just doing one thing with them, then that makes the job for me a little bit harder than, you know, it would normally be if I didn't know my students. And as a mom, I have help. Praise God for the help. I have extended family that helps me with my daughter that I really appreciate. And I often kind of take for granted. Some people don't have their parents living around, you know, nearby to help out with the children. And as far as writing is concerned, I incorporated in my classes, and, you know, at a time, there was a time when I was actually a teacher and I didn't have a classroom and such. I had a lot more time to actually, you know, to write, and I still do write now, but I tend to focus now on the community in my classes, and I'm still writing at least once or twice. At least once or twice a day, maybe. It just depends.
Oh, okay. Wow. I mean, that's a lot of time with, because I can imagine you do have a busy schedule.
I do.
You know, with being a professional and author and a poet, so that is very commendable.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have the opportunity to, let our listeners hear one of your pieces, if you don't mind, from one of your books.
Okay, I'll go from the first book, School Days, Holidays, and All Days That Lie Between. This is my daughter's favorite. We're going to college, because I tell her that. We're going to college, not just to sing, dance, and be in band. We're going to college. We're going to take a stand for higher education. We'll use our gifts in art and music, so yes, we choose it. We're going to college. We're gaining knowledge. We're learning to read so that we will read to learn, because out there in our global world, there's much prosperity to earn. We'll play our best instrument, our brain, and we'll only entertain education. We'll rock the nation with our learned skills. We'll turn our wheels by using our writing implements to promote achievement. So join our band and sing and dance to understand that we're going to college. We're getting prepared, because with the global world, we have so much to share.
Wow. Now, this piece was that sort of a message to
that was
someone
a message.
Your daughter, or just
that was a message to my daughter and my fifth grade students.
Wow, very encouraging. A lot of times that piece right there, that is a piece that can almost be, it's somewhat of a motivational piece to the minds of children. And that is a phenomenal piece.
Sit down.
Do you have another one you wish to share with us?
Okay, I'll go from God's Calling You to Live a Life That's True. And this one is titled, No Spirit of Fear. I've had many peculiarly awful things happen to me this year. I'm not afraid to keep on moving, because God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. I'll keep going on with my life. Everything is going to be fine. Great things will happen for me in God's time. I have a peculiarly awesome faith that in the near future I will have great days.
Wow, and that's that piece?
The name of that piece is No Spirit of Fear, and it's from God's Calling You to Live a Life That's True.
Nicole, we have something that we usually do on our show, and I just had you do two pieces, so I have to give you your praise. If you just hold on for one moment, let me praise you, clap you up. Because I enjoy those pieces. Yeah. All right, now I just had to give you, because your pieces are very motivating, and that's what I love about poetry, because when it hits you emotionally, then you know that piece has done its job. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you find that same type of feeling when you connect with a poet's words?
Yes, I do. Even with art, I do, with written, with drawings and music, yes, I do.
Yes, I knew it. You have to know, you understand that, because you are truly a poetess. And I'm so delighted to have you here on our show. We have a couple of more. We have 20 more minutes left in the show, and I do have a few more questions for you.
Okay.
If people wanted to connect with going to reach out to you. May, mm-hmm. you know, someone from the Louisiana area, they may be having poetry venues and they may want to invite you to come on out or, mm-hmm. you know, you just never know. And you certainly have a platform where you can use it in school, speak to, you know, school children because you are a teacher and your poetry very welcoming and very motivating, inspiring to young people as well as to anybody that's listening to them. So I just want to just kind of make sure that the people know how to reach you, you know, your contact information, if you have a website or your Facebook page. Let the people know how to get in contact with you.
I do have a Facebook page, and it's author Nicole S. Brown. I also have a fan page. You have to type in Outstanding Poet Nicole S. Brown. And I also have a website on authorsden.com.
Okay, so and it's www.authorsden.com.
And it's Nicole S. Brown. That's correct, okay. Nicole S. Brown.
Nicole S. Brown. Again, that was www.authorsden.com/Nicole S. Brown.
That's correct.
That is wonderful because we definitely want to make sure that people are able to reach you and connect more with your collection of fine poetry. It's just a wonderful thing when you know, meet and talk with poets and just kind of learn more about them. You know, when I first saw you, your information on Facebook, and I'm like, wow, you know, looking through Amazon.com and I saw the books that you had, it's very motivating to see that because that means that you put forth great strength to pull those collections together, you know, relatively quickly. And a lot of poets may not get them out as quickly. They may have the material, but, you know, it's just, you know, something that's been them from actually getting them published right away. So it's very motivating to have you on the show. And, you know, letting people know that you can actually get it done because we see that you've done it, you know. So that's very impressive.
Well, thanks, and all praises to God.
You know, are there, like, any types of other books that you read, and not necessarily write, but, you know, something that you read to kind of keep you motivated?
Yes, I love reading the Word of God. I have read, I really tend to read more about inspirational books. That's what I've been into lately, been tapping into. I've been reading books by Joyce Meyer, The 12 Keys to Success, Raising Unselfish Children in a Self-Absorbed World. Basically life skills books. That's really been I've been attaching myself to lately. But I do like to read all genres and all types of literature, but really I've been into life skills, and of course I continue to read my textbooks that I have to teach with. Also, I've been reading title of that book, Purpose Driven Life, Rick Warren. A lot of inspirational books.
Do you find that reading inspirational information as a poet, is that do you feel it's necessary to keep yourself motivated by reading motivational material?
Yes, because this is a challenging world. We're all geared towards success, and I really feel that true success, you know, having true success is really being motivated by not a higher power. I'm going to say God. Being motivated by God.
Okay. If you had one, if someone told you you had to give them one word that was motivating to anyone, if you just you can have to sum it up in one word, what word would you use to motivate a person?
Faith.
Faith.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Come on, get
me. All right. Good answer. I want to your first collection. How many pages did you poetry did you actually include in that collection?
The first collection has 94 pages.
Wonderful. I want to, because a lot of people, a lot of poets are, I've spoken to poets who may only have 50 poems and they feel like, okay, that's not enough. I think a good poetry collection would be like 50 or more, but you can even kind of push it to 40, but collection, if you want to, you know, charge people a certain amount of money, it's 50 poems. And so that is very impressive that you have, you know, 92 pages, because a lot of people sometimes, you know, if you write different types of, you know, pieces, you don't have one thing that you're working with, and sometimes the poems might not flow the same, and you know, enough for you to put it into a collection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you may write a romantic piece, then, or you may write a Christian piece or a political piece. And sometimes, you know, putting it in one collection doesn't always work. How do you make yours work to be able to put it into one collection?
I make it work. That's kind of a hard, complex question. I make it work, well, really through the inspiration. Like, one book that I'm really proud of the mostly is God's Calling You to Live a Life That's True. That was all about one person, what I saw in one person. And I started writing about that one individual from August of last year all the way into January of this year. Basically, what I do is I try to fit, like, do one at a time, and I try to have a theme of the book kind of already together before I start placing them in the schematic order. But this one that I just talked about, it just came into flow with, you know, just being in that particular chronological order. But as far as the school days books, I really had to do a lot more with those as far as putting them together. And I kind of followed, once I did one, I kind of followed the same schematic order, just having, like, the certain subjects, you know, about like holidays in one section and maybe math and science in the other section. And as I go forward to adding more information, I will just keep them in that particular, you know, order.
Okay. How long would you say it typically takes you to write a piece?
It depends on, you know, it really depends. I think the smallest amount of time that I've written a poem or something was like 5 minutes. But then some days, you know, sometimes I get led and I don't really want to write some things, you know, because I feel like it would hurt somebody's feelings, but at the same time, it could hurt, you know, really help somebody else. You know, I could get up from it and still have to end up going back to it. So I guess I'm what I'm saying is I'm spiritually led.
All right. I like that. You're spiritually led. All right. That is so awesome. It's just a wonderful thing because, it's getting to know you as an individual author and a poet is just wonderful. You know, people can get an idea of who you are, you know, who don't know you personally, But, you know, listening to the show, we're beginning to know who the author and the poet and the professional, who Nicole Brown is. It's just an awesome thing. You're a very impressive and encouraging person. We have 9 more minutes left in the show. Nicole, I am going to ask you if you have another piece ready for you to share another piece, if you don't mind.
Okay. Okay, I have to go with the one in More School Days, Holidays, and All Days in Lie Between. And it is like a tribute to the Saints. It was actually written before they won the Super Bowl championship.
Okay.
And the title of this is Go Saints, Who That You Ain't. I know that every day my goal is to say, Go Saints, go. Go Saints, march on in the Super Bowl. March in with pride. I can only see black and gold in my eyes. Who that say they gonna beat them Saints? Who that? No one. The Saints battle has been declared to be won. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the marching of the Saints. Who that say they gonna beat them Saints? Who that? You ain't.
And that's that piece?
That's the piece.
All right. Hold on. All right. Thoroughly enjoyed that. I like that. Who that? It's almost like it's a hook. Who that? That's the last part of that.
who that? You ain't?
Yeah, you ain't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can have so much fun with poetry.
You really
and
can.
And it's just simply amazing. That was a fun piece, Nicole. Yes. We'd like to, you know, just take this time to just really thank Nicole, author Nicole Brown, for being with us this evening. It has been just such a pleasure hanging out with her and just learning more about her. Again, if you want to connect with her, she's available on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Nicole Brown, is it, you know, are you having the S in there on Nicole?
Author Nicole S. Brown.
Author Nicole S. Brown. Again, let's put that www.facebook.com. Author Nicole S. Brown. Also, she can be reached on www.authorsden.com. Nicole S. Brown. Or is it also author at Nicole S. Brown?
It's Nicole S. Brown.
Nicole S. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful. Some of the pieces is that she has such a creative range in with all of her pieces. And, again, her book can be purchased on Amazon.com. She has several, so kind of go through there. You know, you couldn't miss it. Type in her name, Nicole S. Brown. And it'll take you right to her, you know, her collection of poetry. As you've heard, some of the pieces are very motivating, very interesting, and very fun. And that's what gives poetry a voice because, you know, the versatility with our words and the creativity that we have with our words. She is not just an author and a poet, but she is a professional. And that's also very impressive because it takes a lot, you know, a phenomenal woman to be able to hold down a professional career and also be an author and a poet and a mom. So that is very commendable, especially in these days and times. So Miss Nicole Brown, I say take your bow, sister. You are very impressive. It has been a great pleasure having you on the show with us this evening. I'm so delighted that we worked out the time for you to come in and connect with us. I am so delighted that we got an opportunity to let the world know more of who you are. And we can't wait to get connected with more of your work in the future. Your future projects, what are some of the things you say you have coming up for your next project?
My next project is another anthology called The Truth. It's more about my life, and then another called Many More School Days, Holidays, and All Days That Lie Between. They should be released by the summer of 2010.
Great.
Not 2010, 2011. I apologize.
We are so glad, and we anticipate, embracing that. We definitely have to make sure that we get all of those collections from her. I'd like to take this time at this moment to appreciate and acknowledge the people in the chat room, Black Homeschoolers, guest 4498. We just so thank you so much for hanging out with us, chatting with author Nicole S. Brown all the way from Louisiana. And it's just been a great pleasure with you being on the show, Nicole. If you had anything else left that you could say to encourage a person who feels that they have the creative ability to be a poet but just don't know how to just take that next step and just get out there and let people embrace their voice, how would you encourage them to just move forward into sharing their work with other people?
I would say don't give up even when others put, negative words or negative things into your spirit. Always remember, who made you and who you are, and to keep going forward and persevere through all obstacles. You'll see the light at the end of the tunnel quickly.
Wow, that's very, very encouraging. This is blessing. That just flowing right off your tongue, Nicole. That's such a blessing, such a blessing. We have 2 minutes left in the show. We'd just like to thank Nicole S. Brown for hanging out with us again, and we so hope that you will come back again and join with us even on one of our segments of Candid Conversation, Morning Inspiration and Candid Conversation, because I truly feel that you have something inspirational to share with others. Or even one of our other days, tomorrow night will be our open mic night,
mm-hmm.
where authors will showcase their talents, for a whole hour and a half. And we also have second and fourth Mondays where we talk about finances, grant writing. We just started that, so we'll, cover a lot of things dealing with finances and, connecting and understanding wealth. So those are some of the things that we will be doing in the future. But at this time, we will just say thank you so much, Nicole, for hanging out with us. And we're so glad that you just have motivated us. And we will continue to pray and, keep you lifted up, because I truly want to see the Lord truly bless your platform, because I really believe that you have a lot to say and a lot to share with the world. I would say be encouraged. I'm hoping that one day you'll come back on the show in the future, even to just promote some of your new product, and we'll gladly have you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Very much so.
Yes, yes. All right. So the show is winding down. We have 50 seconds left in the show, so we're going to close it out with a little music here and just say goodnight to everyone, and thank you for hanging out with us. Again, author Nicole S. Brown, you have all of her information. You can catch the archives. And we love you all, and, may the Spirit of God be with you. We love you. Peace and blessings.
Dear God, I pray that you open my heart and fill it with love.
Good night.
Good night.
You want to ignore it, but you can't. You want to call it something else, but every time you get that gnawing feeling, that empty feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know. You know your behavior has gotten you into trouble again. You've been repeating your patterns, telling your stories, doing your thing. You've been acting desperate, acting needy. You've been giving more than you had to give, settling for less than you needed or wanted, and now you feel alone, angry, stuck and afraid, guilty and ashamed. It doesn't have to be that way. You just want to be loved. That's what we all want, to be loved totally and unconditionally. We want to be valued and honored, held and heard, understood and respected, no matter what we've done, where we've been, or how we've gotten to where we are right now. We all just want to be loved. Souls long to be joined, one soul to another soul, for the sake of love. The voice of love is calling out to you. It's whispering gently into your heart, reminding you, I'm here for you. I love you just as you are. Everything you need, want, desire is right here. Love recognizes the jewel that you are right now. Love wants to hold you, comfort you, lift you right now. And you know what? You don't have to work to get love. Now, it's time to work on you. It's time to work on your heart, your mind, your behavior, your false notions about love that have caused the hurt, the pain, the confusion that you blame love for. And while you're working, love will not leave you. Love will not dishonor you. Love will not take anything from you. Love will fill you. Love will protect you. Love reminds you that the voice of God is whispering to you from within yourself. God wants you to know that He loves you because God is love. In the meantime, tell love where you hurt. Tell love why you hurt. Tell love how you got hurt, and love will heal you. Love is speaking to you, calling to you. Is it time to listen? Is it time to recognize love's voice? How will you know? Oh, you will know. Because the sheep always know the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd knows how to take care of the sheep. Love is there for you, caring for you, listening to you, wanting you to receive its gift. Just open your heart and God will love you because He always has.